If you want to turn to Psalm 94, that's where we're going to be in a few moments, Psalm 94. We'll also be in Psalm 91 and a couple other places as well. I put in a bulletin this week where we're going to talk a little about Jesus and start a couple of three lessons on Jesus. The last few weeks we've been talking about God, and as I got to looking at it, I thought there's still another lesson I'd like to preach first about God. About 3 weeks ago, we started about what a giving God we have. And then we talked about a gracious God that we have. We talked about our just God just a couple of weeks ago, or last week, about how God is a fair God. I mean, you know, you can expect punishment for those deserving punishment. You can expect rewards for those deserving rewards. And I thought, we still lack one. There's still something else that I think we need to catch about God that we don't talk about enough. In fact, I think it's something that we've lost as a church, as a group, as a people, as a nation. When it comes to who God is, I think we have lost something in our belief of God, and I'll explain that here in just a second. We've all lost items. There's things we lose and you lose all the time. Some are worse than others. There are a few of you in here, I don't know how many times I've come up carrying your keys going, are you going to use these to drive home today? You'll set them down somewhere and you forget where you've put them, or you don't realize until it's time to go, well, what did I do with my keys? I've got a chair in my house that will eat anything you have in your pockets. It has the ability to just suck things out of your pockets, whether it be a good pocket knife, chapstick, if you lose your keys, if you lose a wallet. In fact, anymore, if somebody's lost something, they say, hey, go check the chair. You know, and we lift up. Well, sure enough, there it is, you know. The other day, Mom, you know, gone to the store. She's gone a long time. I thought, I need to check the chair. She may be there, because we didn't know quite where she was. That chair will get anything. We've all lost things, and it's easy to lose stuff. But one of the things that we have lost our view of who God is. And I believe that. We have lost the awesomeness of God, the belief that God is powerful and awesome. Now you're going, now, what do you mean we've lost that? What I'm trying to say is we used to be a people who feared God, saw God as someone to fear and yet to love at the same time. And I think there was some good in change that the pendulum went from God, who is a mean God, who is out to get everybody, and that pendulum swung over to the other side that God is a good God, a loving God, a God who loves you and forgives you, and we need to preach that, but we also need to remember, we need to keep that old pendulum right in the middle, that we have a God who is an awesome God, a God who is one who we should fear and respect with a godly awesomeness, if I can use that word. God is an awesome God, and we have lost some of our ability to sit back and go, wow, God is amazing. He is awesome. We need to understand who God is. We need to learn about the fear and respect that Tiger read about a while ago, that's the beginning of knowledge. And when we look at God's awesomeness, I think it will help us to wake up just a little bit to who it is that we serve. A couple of songs I love. What an Awesome God We Serve is a song, a newer song that we sing sometimes. Our God is an awesome God, and He is, and that's another song. When we learn to restore the awesomeness of God, what we find is an answer to a lot of problems. The awesomeness of God can put the zip back in our missing zip sometimes as Christians, as churches, in the missing zip in our zeal, in our worship, of realizing when you're singing to God, and when you're singing to an awesome God. Somebody who's listening to everything that you say. And we have, unfortunately, we have become too comfortable with God's greatness. We have become too comfortable with God. We have become uninspired by Jehovah, is what we have done. And we've just gotten comfortable, and that shouldn't be so. My wife, I'm very blessed that I married who I married. I married up in this world, and that is without question. One of the things that I married into that I have been so blessed with is her family for years and years and years and years, have got a little cabin up in the mountains of New Mexico, right at the very top of the beautiful San Cristo Mountains. Go up there by the lake, you see the mountains, you see the snow, you see the wildlife, the elk come down and eat where you can go watch them. It is absolutely amazing. And I'm reminded of that when I go, but it's not what it used to be. And I was reminded of that a few years ago when a new nephew in the family that had married in by the name of Mike went for the first time ever to the mountains. He had never seen mountains before, other than West Texas mountains, and those aren't mountains. He had never seen real mountains before. And I, you know, my first question was, you got to be kidding, you've never seen mountains. No, just pictures, you know, that sort of thing. You've never been to New Mexico. You've never been to Colorado. No, haven't ever been. So the trip we took as a family, the first time he ever went, and the first time you kind of get a vision as you are crossing the state of New Mexico and you look up and you begin to look over to your right as you are traveling west and you see all those huge mountains in Colorado as they work their way in front of you in such a panoramic view of these huge, massive, powerful mountains. The closer you get, the closer you think, wow. And I remember the statement that he made one time as he said, "This is amazing." And he just went on and on as he literally awe dripped from his words when he talked about them. And I kept thinking, you know, they're cool, but they're just, you know, they're mountains. You know, I had seen them enough times, they had lost some of their luster. But he reminded me just how magnificent they really are. We're that way with God sometimes. We have looked and we have looked and we have looked and we have gotten comfortable with who He is. And we sit back and we need sometimes somebody to remind us, wow, what an awesome God there is. And then we have to sit back and we go, you know, you're right, I've kind of forgot. I got used to God. I've got comfortable with God. I looked at God so many times, I forgot that He was an awesome God. This morning, let's look at what kind of awesome God that we have, what kind of awesome God we serve. We don't want to ever get comfortable with God. We don't ever want God to just be, He's just God. In Psalm 94, in verses 1 through 7, we read about a powerful God, about a God who David's talking about that says is not just any old body person. It's a powerful, awesome God. And notice what he says, verses 1 through 7, Psalm 94, listen to this awesomeness of God. O Lord, the God who avenges. When's the last time you heard somebody talk about, well, I serve an avenging God? That's awesome. We have a God that avenges. O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Pay back the proud for what they've done. How long will the wicked, O Lord, how long will the wicked be jubilant? They will pour out arrogant words. All evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, O Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the alien. They murder the fatherless. They say, the Lord doesn't see. And the God of Jacob pays no heed. You know who David's talking about right there? David's talking about the kids in your high school who poke fun or make fun of God. He's talking about the people at your work who giggle and joke about, oh, God will get you, God will get you. He talks about the people who grin and say, boy, don't mess up. You know, oh God, He'll just get you, and it's all tongue in cheek. And David says, don't mess around with God. Sometimes you look out and you wonder why the things happening in this country happen. And you wonder if it's because we've lost our respect for God. You see the evil in our country. You see the problems in our churches. And you wonder if it's because maybe we've just grown comfortable with God. We need to understand something very serious about God. And that is, until we learn to respect and fear Him, we will never be able to praise Him with a proper spirit. We will never be able to serve Him to the fullest. There's a lot of people who see God as a toothless old grandfather who sits back and shakes his finger at people, you know, that sits back and goes, "Oh, don't do that." And when they do, he goes, "Oh, I told you not to do it. Don't you do it again now, all right?" It's like the little grandfather whose grandkids are there at the house and he says, "Oh, don't break that. That's grandma's. Don't. We'll be in trouble. Don't break that." And they break it and he goes, "Ah, that's all right. You know, we'll buy grandma a new one." And we see God a lot like that. That, "Oh, it's all right." You know, God really only sends the bad folks to hell. God really only punishes the really wicked people. We have got to get an idea of who God really is. Sometimes I think what we do is what psychologists call transferring to real and transferring to fiction. As we grow up, we have things that we put over in piles and we learn as we go. You go to school and you find out, you know, a banana is yellow, and you look at the banana and go, once it goes from green, it is yellow. And you put that over in the "I know that's true" pile. Somebody comes along and tells you, says, 1 + 1 = 4. You learn when you go to school, no, 1 + 1 = 2. So you say, I'm putting that over in the "he doesn't know what he's talking about" pile. You know, that's not true. And you get these things, and all through life as you go, you're sorting things that are real, things that are not real, things that you've got to figure out where they go. I did that as I grew up. I remember the tooth fairy. All right? You remember that person that came and, you know, waited up one night, thought, "Boy, you know, the old tooth fairy's left me lots of quarters, lots of dollars. I need to thank him." And so we set up one night, and I had the pillow, had the flashlight, had my face next to the wall, and waited for the tooth fairy to come sneaking in my room, you know, and felt the pillow rustle and whooped around with a flashlight, and guess who was there? Tooth fairy. Looked a lot like my dad, but it was a tooth fairy. He was just helping out that day, right? Easter Bunny used to come to my house, leave good stuff in the morning times. We'd get up and we'd have a basket full of chocolates and things like that. Oh, I like the Easter Bunny. And I remember thinking, I got to thank that Easter Bunny. You know, I need to let him know something. I mean, me and little brother, let's hide out. Let's find out. Let's think that old, you know, maybe he's got extra chocolate that he can share. So we hide out. We hear the rustling in the living room. We hit the lights. Guess who it is? It's a tooth fairy. Yeah. Just a lot more scared, you know. And so you take all these things and you're sorting piles. Well, I know this is true, this is not true, this is true, this is not. Everything in your life you're sorting out. And then somebody comes along sometime in your life and they say, "What about God?" And you go, "Well, I can't see Him. Well, I can't really feel Him. You know, I've been told that He was." People who, you know, so I, you know, if I can't see Him and feel Him and I can't really check Him out, I'm not putting Him over in the pretend pile, and yet I can't check Him out, so I really hate to put Him over in this. So I'm going to put Him right in the middle. I'll make a new pile for things that I just don't know about. There's a lot of people who have got three piles. And what they need to do is they need to come along and realize just who God is. And they need to look at His awesomeness and His powerfulness. And you can't help but pick Him up and move Him over in the "He's a real God. He's a powerful God" pile. He is the God that we serve. He is the God that we love. We serve an awesome, awesome God. Now, let me give you some examples, if I can, for just a minute, just in case. Because I really think when you realize what an inspiring, unbelievably powerful God that you serve, you can't help but have fear and respect. Now, let me give you some examples, all right? Biblical examples. We'll start in the Old Testament. Think about some of the times in the Old Testament where God showed His awesomeness. His power, His authority, His seriousness for, I will not put up with evil. Think about it for a second. Remember Nadab and Abihu? Those were a couple of boys that decided they wanted to do things their way instead of God's way. And so they went into God's temple saying, hey, we don't care about what God thinks. We're going to handle things our way. And you know what happened? Smoke and fire, and poof, those boys were gone. And the people sat back, and you know what they said that day? God is an awesome God. They didn't say, God's an old toothless grandpa. They said, no, God is an awesome God. And you think about other stories. You remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Wicked, wicked place, fire, smoke. It was as if a bomb went off and those cities were gone. You remember God got irritated with a whole lot of folks in Genesis chapter 6. He got irritated with their wickedness. And you remember what He said? He said, it's going to rain. And it's going to rain, and it's going to rain, and it's going to rain. And those people who are laughing and giggling at Noah for building a boat, a little later were crying and screaming and treading water for a little while anyway. They didn't sit back that day going, boy, God, He's just a toothless old grandpa. They said, boy, what an awesome God we have. The same God that you pray to, catch this, the same God you bow your head and pray to is the same God that said to the Israelite parents, if your children don't respect you, you know what He said? You take them out and you stone them. Powerful, isn't it? Powerful. God said that? God is an awesome God. Not one to take light, not one to make fun of. And we need to teach our children Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that to fear God is the beginning of wisdom. We need to get back what we have lost. And it's not a car key. It's not a remote control. It is our understanding of who God is and just how awesome He is. Let me give you the second part of this lesson and we'll close, and I want you to catch, because I think it's important that we keep that pendulum going like we're talking about, all right? We've got a God, you've got a God that could crush you at any moment. Does that make sense? He's got the ability to wipe you out. But instead, you know what He chooses to do? Instead, He wraps His arms around us and He says, I love you with all my heart. Make sense? You've got a God that's got the ability to crush you at any moment. And yet, He chooses to wrap His arms around you and says, I love you with all my heart. Now, somebody always will say in a sermon like this, well, how do you love God and fear God at the same time? You just can't do it. That's not so. You don't think there's any way to love someone and fear them too, you never met my mom. I loved that woman, and yet I could fear her with all of my heart. The first trip I ever took with the young people in the congregation I grew up on was a ski trip where I would actually be out from under my mother's control for a little while, and I still remember my father that morning. He reminded me, he said, now you remember who your father is? And I said, yes, Dad, I will. And as we got ready to load on the bus, we were walking up, and she said, don't forget, you remember who? And I said, yeah, my father. She said, no, you remember who your mama is. And I said, yes, ma'am. She had the ability in a large congregation to be sitting back in one corner, and I could be sitting up in this corner, and if she cleared her throat, I could pick it up with my fine, sensitive, tuned hearing and know what she was saying is, I better stop what I'm doing or she will kill me when we get home from church. Everybody else just thought she had something in her throat. I knew what that meant. I knew what that meant, and I feared that woman. And yet, I loved her with all my heart. I laid down my life for her. And yet I could fear her. So don't tell me you can't fear someone and love them at the same time. Don't say that. Or you just can't love somebody and be afraid of them too. No!
You can. You've got a God that can crush you, and yet He chooses to wrap His arms around you and say, I love you. Look in Psalm chapter 91, since you're there pretty close. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he's talking about God here, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, there's protection there. It's what he's talking about. And I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. He says, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I trust you to take care of me. I trust you that you're not a toothless grandfather, that you have power, and that you have ability, and you have strength, and you can help me. There is only, the only thing as awesome as God's fear and God's power is God's love. And here we're told we must fear Him and love Him and trust Him, and that is possible. It is. There was a guy by the name of Landon. That was his last name. You know who Landon was? He was the first guy ever to cross Niagara Falls. Guess how he did it? On a tightrope. They strung a big old rope across Niagara Falls. He gets up. This is the early 1900s. And he gets up there and gets ready. People come from everywhere. And they're out there going, yo, this is great. Can you do it? And he crosses. Takes him an hour just to go across. The people are cheering, Landon, Landon, Landon. And he comes back. He makes it all the way. No problem at all. People are, Landon, Landon, Landon. And he quiets the crowd. And he says, how many of you think I can do it again? And they're all going, yes, Landon. He said, how many people think I could do it with someone on my back? And they're all going, yeah, that would be great. Landon, Landon. He said, I need a volunteer. And they all went, you know, they all believed him until it required something. They didn't want a volunteer. They didn't want to be the one that said, I believe you, I'll go. God says, you trust me, climb on. Don't just sit back there and go, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. And then when I say, trust me, we go, oh, I'm not trusting you, Lord. A little while back, not too long ago, back when my youngest was really small, we had rules about not getting up on the top bunk in the room because it was a little too far up, crash and fall off. We come in, he finally discovered how he could get up there, and he had climbed up. He's pretty proud of himself that he had learned to get up to the top bunk. And we said, all right, Coop, you need to come down. Jump. And I held up my hands and, no, I'm not going to die. Jump, come on, don't you trust me? Jump. You know, we did this. This took 3-4 minutes. Does it? Come on, jump. And we'd get right on the edge. He'd get right out on the edge of that old bed, just about as far as he could go. And just about the time he'd get, then he'd go, no, I'm not ready to jump. And then finally, got him talking. He leaned just far enough that he couldn't go back. And he couldn't help but jump. And he jumped, and he screamed with fear as he jumped. And I caught him absolutely perfect. It took 5 minutes to talk that boy into jumping, to trust me that I was going to catch him. And you know what he said just as soon as I caught him and put him on the floor? Let's do it again. You know, once you learn to trust God, that He's going to be there for you, once you finally will stretch out far enough in your faith to lean over the edge and say, catch me, then finally the time comes when you'll be willing to say, I'm ready to do it again, Lord. I found fortress. I found that you're a mighty fortress, that I have refuge. I have a place of safety in you. We've got to learn to trust that awesome God that we have. He is so big. He's big enough to handle your problems and my problems. Think about it. Think about it for a second. If He's big enough to destroy a place called Egypt, who is at that time the most powerful place in the world, He's big enough to get you through some of the issues you're having in your families. If He's big enough to take out a place like Sodom and Gomorrah or destroy the earth, if He's got all the power to do all them things, don't you think He's got enough power to get you through the tough times that you go through? We serve an awesome, awesome God. Don't ever forget what an awesome God that we have. We are blessed people. Don't lose your understanding of who God is, because God is an awesome God. We're going to sing an invitation. If you need to respond this morning, we can help you any way we can. Ready to become a Christian? We'd love to tell you more about it. You need some, talk to somebody about some things. You need someone to pray with, someone to pray for you. We want to just tell you we're here for you. We want to help any way we can. But we will sing an invitation at this time. And if you need to respond, we'd like to ask you to come while we stand and sing this song.